Welcome to Your Best Riding Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Riders Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. Each week, I bring you tips and strategies from experts in the riding and publishing industry to help you excel in your craft. I'm so glad you're listening in. Today, we're talking about capitalizing on virtual conferences. Our content expert is Becky Antkowiak, and she is a writer, speaker, editor, adoptive homeschooling mom, compassion sponsor, enthusiastic grammar floozy, and project manager with Redemption Press. A lifelong serial extrovert, Becky believes every stranger is a friend she hasn't met. Fair warning, if you make eye contact, you may be friends for life. She founded the 540 Club, a free group for riders focused on studying craft, sharpening skills, and sharing encouragement for the riding journey. When she's not riding or finding ways to connect people, you will find her demolishing, rebuilding, and creating alongside Patrick, her best friend and husband of 20 years. In her spare moments, she binge listens to audiobooks while eating salted caramel anything. Becky, welcome to Your Best Riding Life.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be with you.
I know we're going to have a lot of fun today. Just based on that bio, we're going to have a great time. So I like salted caramel stuff as well. And we'll have to make a list at some point of the salted caramel items that are out there that everyone should try. But that's a totally different topic from today. Today, what I'd like to do as we start off, Becky, what I'd like to offer is an inside peek at the life of our experts, especially if it's the first time they've been on Your Best Riding Life. So share with us something we won't find in your bio.
Well, I fell off a mountain several years ago. We were on a four-wheeling trip in the Hatfield-McCoy trails, and there was a very friendly camp host who offered to take us on some of the trails we wouldn't find necessarily on a map. And so we followed this gentleman through the mountains and went higher and higher and got more and more concerned because everything was very rocky and hairpin turns. And so we came to a spot where there was a sheer drop, and I do not like heights, and my husband knew immediately this was going to be a problem for me. So he turned around, he said, okay, when you get up here, do not let go of the throttle. Just keep your eyes on my back, hold your throttle, don't look down. Everything will be fine. And I got to that spot where the sheer drop went really far down the mountain. And of course, I took my eyes off his back. I looked down and the sheer drop terrified me, and I froze. My thumb slipped off the throttle. The four-wheeler died. Like, everything that shouldn't have happened, and suddenly I was falling through the air. And the thing where your life flashes through your eyes, that actually did not happen, but the whole slow motion thing did. Like, I watched everything go into slow motion. It took forever to fall. I watched the four-wheeler as it fell on top of me. It was just the weirdest experience I've ever had. So when I let go of the throttle without momentum to carry me through, gravity took over, pulled me and the four-wheeler off the mountain. But the spot where I landed was shaped like the hollow of a cupped hand. And the four-wheeler fell on top of me and pinned me, but it didn't hurt me. And rocks were everywhere on that mountain. And the spot where I landed was just mossy and soft. And looking at it later, it just really looked like a cupped hand was holding me. And it reminded me of Isaiah 40:12 and John 10:29. And they both talk about God's hand. Isaiah 40:12 specifically talks about the hollow of his hand. And John 10:29, you know, says, no one can take me out of his hand. And he kept me safe there.
That's amazing. What a great story.
It was neat too. Like, even though I was pinned, I felt complete peace. Like, I was like, I can't get out of this situation by myself. Somebody's going to have to rescue me, but I'm okay right here. So kind of related to our conversation, sometimes it's easy to let the sheer volume of conference information overwhelm us and distract us like that sheer drop did. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus and focus on what God wants from us, he'll help us get where we need to be. And there will be times during the conference where you may feel stuck, or, you know, we may feel like, I don't know if I can do this on my own, and God will send the right people. And the good news was that my husband came down, and, you know, they talk about the moms who lift the cars off the babies when they're all freaked out or whatever. He picked up the four-wheeler, like lifted it off me and tossed it and then picked me up. And I was just like, I don't know who you are, but I will be married to you for a long time. It was incredible.
That is incredible. Yeah. What a great visual, and what a great reference to those scripture references, because we do need to know that we are in the palm of God's hand, and no one can snatch us from that. So thank you, Lord, from that. And I'm glad that you were safe and that you're here with us today, because you have some great information. We're talking about capitalizing on virtual events. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of download that's happening here today during this time between Becky and myself, but she has for you in the show notes an amazing PDF that's going to cover so much of this and probably even more. So just don't fear. We want you to listen. We want you to engage and join us maybe over on Your Best Writing Life in the Facebook group. If you want to expound on your questions, we welcome you to do that with Becky over there too. So just know we're going to cover a lot, but we're also going to equip you with it in the PDF download that you'll get for today. All right, Becky. So we're going to start off with, what important details should virtual attendees focus on ahead of time?
The idea of a virtual conference can be intimidating, especially if you don't consider yourself a tech wizard, but the reality doesn't have to be stressful. Focusing is not, it's not my talent. It's never been my talent. And so in order to focus for conferences, especially virtual conferences, I prepare ahead of time. So the main key is preparation. First of all, you want to familiarize yourself with the website and all the information provided by the conference organizer. Most conferences will have a conference schedule on the website. You'll want to find out how to log on. Depending on the conference, they may use Zoom, they may use Facebook, they may use a totally different platform. So it's important to find that out ahead of time and make sure you know how to log on. Make sure you have located the tech support email or phone number or chat or whatever else they use. Feel free to email the conference ahead of time if you have questions. Typically, they have someone available to answer the questions for you. If you're not familiar with the site, definitely spend some time looking through to make sure you understand it. And if you don't have a Facebook account and the conference is on Facebook, you will need to sign up for a Facebook account temporarily. You can always delete it later, but don't hesitate to go ahead and just create a profile with whatever platform they are using, if that's available, to make sure that you can participate.
That's very good. Finding out where they sign up, find out where the meetings are, how they're offered, and get all of that done ahead of time. I think that's a great way for us to start. We've got everything prepared. We know where we're going to go. We know what we're going to do. We know where we're going to sign on. What are some good ways that virtual attendees can gather information during the conference?
One of the best ways to gather information is whatever works for you. So if you love to be on your laptop taking notes, plan for that. If you prefer to just use pen and paper, that is totally fine. Just because it's virtual does not mean you have to do everything on your computer, but obviously you're absolutely welcome to. It just depends on what you prefer. I will say that this is not the time to start your trial of OneNote or Scrivener or any of those things. You want to have a program that you are familiar with, that you can navigate easily. If you already use those programs, great. If not, just stick with what you know, because when we're in a time crunch, it's difficult to navigate new programs. So first of all, I would say you can either use a digital notebook on your computer. And when I say digital notebook, I just mean setting up some folders and new documents in Word or whatever program you typically use. And when you name them, you can name them things like great quotes or takeaways or websites to check out later or contact information for new friends, whatever you want to name it. But think through the conference, especially if you've attended a previous conference, and try to think ahead of what you might want to glean from the conference. And then that way, if someone says this amazing quote that you don't ever want to lose, instead of having it in the middle of all your other notes, if you've got a document that says great quotes, you can quickly click that, pop it in there, and then later you have a document full of these quotes that you want to pull for your blog or whatever. You'll want to create an emergency document. So this isn't as stressful as it sounds. Just a document that lists ways to contact tech support or the conference assistants or whoever you might need to get in contact with if things aren't working. That way you don't have to scramble to try to find the phone number or email while you're trying to watch the conference. Trying to keep up can be really stressful, so just don't sweat it if you are feeling overwhelmed. I recently was working with a conference that one of the attendees actually dropped out the second day because she was feeling so overwhelmed, and she was just like, you know, everyone here is so far ahead of me. I feel like I can't keep up. I'm just going to come back and listen to the recordings later. And in doing that, she missed out on some opportunities to connect in real time with other people who are attending. If you need to, that's fine. If they're providing recordings, you can stop and come back and listen to it later. But I would encourage you, even if you're feeling overwhelmed, just hang in there and stick with it. And try to connect with at least one other person during the conference, because that is what's really going to matter in the long run, is making those connections.
And I think making connections is one of the big takeaways of virtual conferences. You're really able to connect with more people virtually than you are at a conference where you're in person.
Yes.
It's amazing to me that has been one of the highlights of the virtual conferences that I've attended, that I've spoken at, because I think you'll cover like chat rooms and stuff like that in a little bit, but being able to go in there and I can copy everything in the chat and I can get all of these email addresses and to be able to get back with people that, wow, I didn't even know this person did this. And now that I do, I really do want to get in touch with them. I think that you're right, that if we get at a place of overwhelm because of lack of knowledge, that's something that we can fix. It's something that we can prepare for so that it's not an issue to step back and step away. What about, and I don't know if you've known anyone who's done this or not, maybe you're a first-time conferee virtually, maybe contacting a friend who's been on some conferences and practice, you know, practice on Zoom or practice on a platform, maybe even practice out on Facebook. Is that just something that's too far-fetched, or is that something that maybe they can plan, even if it's with, you know, three or four people who want to get comfortable out there? Is that something you would suggest or no?
Yes, that is a great idea. In fact, if the program or if the conference is going to be on Zoom, I highly recommend you look up Zoom conference or Zoom attendee tutorials, because they're out there. Zoom actually puts on some of them. And then, of course, there's all kinds of stuff on YouTube. But learn where all the buttons are and learn how to use Zoom, because even if the conference is not on Zoom, the platforms are all very similar. And so if you can do Zoom, you can pretty much do anything. And honestly, it's not difficult. It can look very overwhelming. And I will tell you, the first couple of times I used Zoom, I am not techie. My IT friends would laugh if they knew that I was running Zoom for conferences, because they know I am their picnic. That every time I have trouble with something and I call them, they're like, honey, you're a picnic. Problem in chair, not in computer. So yeah. So if I can do it, anyone can do this, truly. And I think that maybe that's why God let me do it, because there are so many people who do feel a little overwhelmed or intimidated by the tech. If I can do it, truly, you can do it.
Okay. I'm in agreement with you. A lot of things can be overwhelming if we're looking at them all in one big slam. But what you're suggesting today is steps and sequences and ways that we can go in and, you know, prepare ahead of time, get the knowledge ahead of time, get all your little ducks in a row ahead of time. And then I know that we just touched on it with some of the aspects of technology. So how should virtual attendees plan as far as technical issues or needs? And you had mentioned practicing with other people, but I know that you have some other stuff, which I thought was great about your phone or laptop and all of that. So I'd love for you to share that with our listeners.
One of the biggest things you can do to keep yourself from having issues during the conference is to plan for disaster. And I know that sounds terrible. I don't mean plan for disaster in the sense that you get so freaked out that something's going to go wrong that you can't participate. But if you plan for everything to go wrong and then mitigate that ahead of time, very little will go wrong. So one of the main things that you can do is to charge your phone, charge your laptop, charge your tablet, anything you have that you could possibly use for the conference, make sure they're all at full charge. Make sure all of your charging cables are nearby, because that way, if something fails for some reason, your laptop goes out. If you have a tablet, you can hop on that way. If you have your phone, you can hop on that way. The way our technical lives are now, there are many options, which is nice because we have some backup. So again, if you have multiple devices, you can also consider watching on one of those and then taking notes on another. So if it's a Zoom conference, I do highly recommend that you use a laptop to actually watch, especially if it's an interactive conference, because then you can actually see people. If you're doing it on your phone, you have to scroll through to be able to see the other attendees, which is a little bit time intensive. And it's just adding a step that's unnecessary. So at a previous conference, we had a young lady who her computer audio was not working. So she called in on her phone and then she watched on her computer and everything was fine. So there are multiple ways to kind of mitigate the problem if you have multiple devices. Plan for a power failure. You know how to reset your Wi-Fi. Make sure you know your passwords for whatever your Wi-Fi provider is. If your phone has a hotspot capability, know how to use that and know how to turn off your phone and computer notifications. So minimizing your distractions is very important. Before the conference, you want to turn off your ringer and stop notifications from Facebook, Instagram, messaging, whatever. And if you can, use your do not disturb option, which should block all your incoming calls and notifications. Just don't forget to turn it back on, because people freak out if you don't answer the phone for like 2 days. So a fun fact, regaining focus after a distraction requires about 20 minutes. This is actually a true fact. It's very true for me. If you don't believe it, Google it after the podcast. Stay focused.
That's good. Well, I never thought about that, that once you're distracted, that it takes a while for you to come back into what you were focusing on before, but I can see how that would be very, very true. That's a good thing for us to know. Nice. Now, Becky, I know that earlier we did talk a little bit about the conference platform and you know, that there are some Zoom tutorials out there. Is there something else with that maybe that you'd like to cover as we're finishing up this question?
I think it's important to learn which conference platform you're using and then find out all the options that you're going to need to use. So make sure that you know how to log in, how to send messages. Like we said, if you're not tech savvy, just Google Zoom tutorial. There are plenty of options out there. You want to learn how to raise your hand to ask a question, how to find the chat, how to change the view to and from full screen, how to put the chat over to the side of the screen, how to see multiple participants, Brady Bunch style. All of those things are really important, because in the conference, you don't want to have to be trying to figure it out. So most of the virtual conference platforms are similar. So even if they don't use Zoom, familiarity with Zoom should give you enough knowledge to figure out how to do those things, even if they're using a different platform.
Okay, excellent. Well, is there anything else that you want or that virtual attendees should know?
focus and preparation are both really key. In order to be able to focus, you have to prepare, and you need to have a backup plan, like we said, in case your tech fails. So I would say, even if you typically just take notes on your computer, still have some paper, pencils, good pens, whatever you might need to take notes if something does happen. Often a conference will provide a notebook, and this is different from the personal notebook that I'm suggesting you kind of create on your own. They often will have a PDF that they provide with the conference, so it'll have usually the conference schedule and the speakers and sometimes space to take notes and things like that. So if they only provide a full color digital option and you're short on ink, usually you can cut and paste the text into a document, just a plain old Word document. The extra work is definitely worth the trouble if your laptop decides to play possum. If the conference is going to require outside reading, so let's just say you're attending a Christian conference, the speaker may ask you to look up a passage in your Bible. Make sure you have those kinds of materials handy as well. We have a huge list of information that we've kind of gone through. Much of it is going to be on that checklist, but especially if you're new to the virtual conference experience, don't feel like you have to do everything. Pick a few things and follow through. And if you feel you have a handle on specifically researching the platform, just getting really familiar with the platform is important. So once you've done that, then pick something else and work on the next thing. Don't try to do everything because that can be very overwhelming.
Absolutely. Or even having a tag team, you know, someone else that's going to be your virtual buddy. That makes it fun as well. And one of the things that I've done, and if you're not a multitasker, it might be challenging to you, but I have my phone where everything is silent, so no sound comes through, but I may be texting someone else who's attending the virtual conference with me. And I'll say, I'm leaving my screen up, but I've got to step away for a minute. Can you make sure and take notes for me? Or I want to be able to get notes from you. So that makes it kind of fun too. And I feel like I'm not by myself. So yes. I'm like, yay, a little bit of extension there. But for sure, right. if you're muted on the conference, then no one's going to hear what's happening on your side of the virtual world. Main thing is the distraction, right?
That actually brings up a really great point. If you are on a webinar, no one else can hear you or see you. So if you're taking a webinar and they have chat over on the side and you can be chatting with other people and things like that, just know that webinar, unless they do something weird and odd I'm not familiar with, webinar means they're not going to see you. You can see them. They can't see you or hear you. However, if it is a Zoom conference, they often can see or hear you. So it's really important to make sure that your mic is muted. And if something crazy starts happening while you're on the conference, if something starts going on at your house, like your dog starts running around or your kids start running around, or, you know, we've had toddlers that were naked running behind people, all kinds of fun things. So if that happens, it's important to know where your mute button is and where your video off button is and utilize those as necessary so you're not distracting to the other attendees.
Beautiful. And then I know that a lot of people today use the virtual backdrops while they're on the screen so that stuff can be going on behind them, but no one sees it. What do you think of those?
I think you have to be careful because they don't always work. You know, if you have a blank wall behind you, then they typically work pretty well. The blank wall is almost like a green screen, but if you don't have a blank wall, then depending on how close things are to your camera, they may show up, or you might actually like disappear behind the backdrop, but sometimes it's a little weird. So I would say it kind of depends on the conference. I usually don't use a backdrop just because it can be distracting to other people if you're disappearing and reappearing as you move, you know, 4 inches away from your screen, suddenly does something and all they see is your hair or whatever.
I had a fun thing happen the other day. I was in a conference, a virtual conference, and I was sharing some of my books that I have. And one of the book covers is green. And it was the hilarious thing because I did have a virtual and I do use a green screen. But when I held the book up in front of me, all you saw was the Link logo in the middle of the book. It looked like I was holding air and had my logo floating. It was kind of cool for a moment, but it was kind of
odd, too.
So it's like, yeah, don't wear green shirts if you have a green background or a virtual background, because that makes you like a floating head. And that's never, never a fun thing to have.
Right. I think it's kind of like the other things, you know, if you prepare and you practice and it looks good and it works out, I say go for it. If you love it and it's fun, great. If you use it and like me, I can't handle seeing parts of myself disappear, I'm like, let me just sit in front of a blank wall and I'll be happy. So,
yes. All right. With that, I want us to take a moment. You had discussed something with me about preparation, that preparation and focus are key, and how you prepare your mind, your environment, and your people. And I know that we've touched a little bit on some of these, but I really like you have some bullet points that go after this for everyone to focus in on. And again, folks, we're going to have this in the handout for you. When we are looking at preparing our mind to focus, what are some of the things that you would encourage our listeners with?
Most of us already know what our most effective personal learning strategies are. So avoid self-sabotage. Don't try to do something that doesn't normally work for you. For instance, I am not an audio learner. I need audio and visual, and usually I need to do something. So if I'm taking notes and I'm watching and I'm listening, I will be able to retain some information. I have a really hard time just listening. If there's nothing happening with my hands, we might as well probably not have had the conversation. So you already know your most effective personal learning strategies, so use them. Pre-conference, stop and consider what you need. So make a commitment to focus and ignore distractions. Distractions by far are the one enemy that we really can't prevent, but we can minimize. If you take a few minutes to brainstorm some ways to minimize them, that would be great. First of all, definitely want to make sure you have enough sleep. If you are exhausted, you're not going to be able to focus and you're not going to be able to maintain that focus. So get some sleep. Try to maintain a steady bedtime schedule for a week prior to the conference if possible. Some people don't know this, but sleep deprivation actually creates the same issues as excessive alcohol impairment. So sleep is important. If, like me, you are useless until the caffeine kicks in, get up early and start that IV drip, your coffee pot, or your can of Coke Zero, or whatever your way of delivering that is. You know, if you have a legitimate attention issue and you are on medication for that, take it. This is not the time to wean yourself off because you've suddenly developed some coping skills. Just keep things as they are. Do what you need to do so that you're not creating any barriers to your learning. A virtual conference may require our brains to perform unfamiliar tasks. And sometimes those things don't go well and we just don't understand it. You know, I followed the directions. Why won't this let me in? I've clicked the button 5 times. I don't understand what's happening. Just breathe and calm down. There's probably a reason for it. Sometimes you just need to refresh the page. It's a distraction in itself when we feel like we can't do the small thing, because then we feel like we can't do the bigger thing. So just breathe and know that nothing is an emergency. If you're a little late, you know, it's unfortunate, but most of them are recorded, so you should be fine. If it's not recorded, then just still breathe, because if you're freaked out, if we freak out, we're not going to be able to get it done anyway. So sleep and breathing are important. Kids and pets are prime sources of the just before the conference nosebleeds, spontaneous projectile vomiting, other emergencies, that just know that it could be an issue and just kind of prepare ahead for that. We'll talk about that in a minute. If you are interrupted, just remember that most speakers do summarize at the end. If the conference has a chat option, you can ask for any information missed. That has been by far the coolest experience in virtual conferences that I've had, aside from being able to connect via Zoom and other actual, you know, times when we can stop and talk and discuss during the conference when they have that chat option up and you miss something, you can just say, hey, I missed point three. What was it? And usually three or four people will pop that information into the chat. So in my experience so far, other attendees are always willing to help and you might even meet a new friend. So definitely participate in that chat. And just remember, like I said before, conference sessions are often recorded. So if you do get interrupted, it's not a huge deal. Above all, just don't freak out. It'll be fine. Whatever interruption that does occur, it's not the end of the world. And honestly, if it is the end of the world, the conference no longer matters. So we're good.
I love that. All right. So how do we prepare our environment in order to focus? What do we need to do with that?
You want to minimize your distractions. So mm-hmm. I will tell you, I have attended conferences in closets, in my car. At some point, I will probably attend one under my bed. If you need a space that is quiet, there is one somewhere. You might just have to get creative. So if possible, claim a room with a door. Close the blinds if you're distracted. Get noise-canceling headphones that connect to your computer. All of those things will help you focus and just, like I said, minimize distractions. Conferences do tend to be pretty fast-paced. So even though they give time for bio breaks and, you know, they say they're giving a lunch break, especially if you have family in your home or other responsibilities, it's difficult to juggle all of that during a break. What I would highly recommend is keep a box of snacks in the room with you. You know, a couple healthy options like apples, but then of course, you know, chocolate and salted caramel, things that are really, really important. And then have a small cooler with your favorite water or soda or whatever nearby. Have a couple of snack bars, things that you can just eat as you watch and as you participate. And then you want to make sure that you have a comfortable setting. Seating should be comfortable, promote good posture. One time I sat on my bed and it was a huge mistake. After 3 days of the conference, I thought I was never going to walk again. Like, it's not a good idea to sit in places that don't support you. So find a place that supports your back. If you do have to just sit on your bed, then find a way to make sure that you're sitting up and supported. Lighting is important. If you're going to be visible online, you want to make sure the lighting is in front of you. If windows are behind you, the sensor in your camera can't figure it out, and you're going to look like you are in witness protection. So make sure the lighting is in front of you, shining on your face. If possible, have a blank wall or something dark kind of behind you. If you need to bring in an extra lamp, bring in an extra lamp. And just remember that even if no one else can see you, you know, even if you're sitting in your room alone and you're on a webinar and no one can see you at all, your only source of light should not be your laptop to prevent eye strain. So make sure that you have good lighting. Temperature is important. Adjust your thermostat if you're able to access that. If you're too hot or too cold, that can be distracting. And if you are in a situation where you can't adjust the thermostat, just make sure you have, you know, an extra sweatshirt or bring in a fan, whatever you need. You can even sit outside. I've been on webinars outside because, again, they can't see me. So whatever is most convenient for you, find the option that will allow you to be comfortable while you're participating.
And that's good. And I find, too, that if I use my earbuds, then I'm pretty much, I can be mobile if I don't have to be on screen. And yes, that works for me as well. That's really good. All right. So we've looked at preparing our mind for the focus. We've looked at how to prepare our environment for focus. And I like this one, prepare your people for you to be able to focus. So share with us what that is.
Depending on who you have in your home, it may be a huge issue or it might be a non-issue. But most of us have someone who depends on us at some point, or if you have a pet, that is also mm-hmm. another major distraction. So I would say at least a week ahead of time, start informing anyone who might need you during the conference that you are not going to be available or that you're not going to be as available as normal. Specifically, people living in your house are dependent on you. Anyone who's likely to freak out if you don't return their text, employers, colleagues, if you are able to, definitely take time off work, preferably for the entire conference, because that will give you time to prepare before and process after the conference. And if you can't take off the entire time of the conference, I would say try to take off maybe a half day after the conference at some point to help you assimilate the information that you have acquired from the conference. And unless you're first responder or something similar, just communicate that you'll be 100% unavailable. And when I say first responder, that could be in the traditional sense, or that might be if you're the only parent in the home, you don't really have a choice. So it's important to communicate with the people around you. If you're able, I would highly recommend that you arrange care for dependents and even for pets. That doesn't mean you have to send them to the kennel or to grandma's, but if you have small children, having someone to be with them while you are participating in the conference is important because they need somebody and you want to let them know that they are important, but also that this is important too. If you have older children, they may not need someone to stay with them, but having a backup contact for that older child is a good idea. And then an emergency contact or care for any adults that are depending on you. And then this might sound a little silly, but if you have an extra person or one of your kids available to snuggle the dog or whatever needs to happen to prevent barking, especially barking right outside your door or trying to dig through your door, that's pretty important. They can get really loud. And if you're not on a webinar, that can be very distracting, both for you and for other attendees. And again, just remember where the mute button is. That's super important. Make sure it's off. If you've got dogs barking, just double check your mute. So communicate with the people in your household. When you talk with the people in your household about the conference, if other people are not writers and you're going to a writing conference, people may not really understand. Like, they get that you like it, but they're not going to understand why it's important. If I don't know how to bake bread, I'm going to look that up on the tutorial. My family understands why this is important because learning about baking bread will benefit them.
That's good.
They understand, yes, mom needs to watch this tutorial about how to make this specific bread so that we can therefore eat this yummy bread. But if you're participating in a writing conference or some conference that other people are not specifically getting a benefit directly from the conference, they may not understand why it's important. They understand that it's important to you, but they may still feel that their immediate need is more important than giving you the time to watch the conference. So first of all, it is incredibly important to sit your people down and explain why the conference is so important to you personally. The other thing that you want to communicate is you are paying for every minute of the conference. So interruptions cost money and you can pass that cost on if you want. Like, the kids in your family will quickly understand if you give an allowance and you say, okay, this conference costs X amount of money and I've broken that down. So it's 50 cents a minute or whatever. And so if you interrupt me, I will remove 50 cents from your allowance every time you interrupt, or if you interrupt for 10 minutes, I'm going to take out $5. They will nip that in the bud, especially if you have teenagers. Younger kids obviously aren't going to understand the cost, but adults and teens will. And then just communicate expectations of being undisturbed unless there's fire, flood, or blood. If something really bad is happening, please come get me. If you can survive this for, you know, 3 more hours and no one's going to be hurt, no one's going to be really, you know, scarred for life, please just take care of it. Let me know about it later. Another way to communicate is to create a physical reminder at the entrance of your conference space. So if you're in the bedroom or in a closet, for instance, you can tell your adult housemates who can understand what's going on and can remember, you know, hey, if the door is closed, I'm in session. If you have a younger child who might know that the door is closed, but might not recognize what that means, you can make something up that's cool. Like, hey, you know what? We're going to pretend I'm in a movie studio and I'm going to put this lamp outside the door. And when I turn the light on, that means I'm filming, because that's how it works in a movie studio. When they're filming, they turn a light on outside the TV studio. Don't knock, don't open the door, because it can ruin the movie. And making it creative and interesting to the child may or may not work, but it's something to try. And then also you can create a sign for your door, especially if you have kids that can read, putting something funny up, you know, if you're loud while I'm on Zoom, you'll be grounded to your room. And you know, if you say those things a couple of times to the kids as well, as you're walking through the house on your 15-minute breaks, just as a reminder, that's not a bad idea.
Well, this has been good. And you do have that humor. I like that a lot. That, I mean, you have to have some type of humor if you're going to be on yes. multiple conferences. And I know that you do a lot of these and that you are incredible Zoom support for those attending conferences. I know that we have you for the Blue Ridge Mountain Conference. You're always wonderful on there. So it is very, very exciting. We're wrapping up, and I'd like you to share about the 540 Club. So tell us about that.
So the 540 Club grew out of another writing conference I attended. One of the speakers mentioned that if you write 540 words per day, you will have a 100,000 word draft for your novel in under 6 months. So I looked up the math, and actually it's 185 days. If you write 540 words a day, you'll have a draft in 185 days. And I thought, oh, this is definitely something that is already existing, I'm quite sure. So I looked it up and nothing. In the meantime, I had been looking for a writing group and wasn't able to find what I wanted. I just wanted a free writing group that focused on encouragement and education and community. There were some, but I just never felt like I fit in. And right around the time we were ramping up for the Blue Ridge Conference last November, I started feeling like God was maybe nudging me to go ahead and try to start a group. I honestly thought that it would be maybe five other friends and me in this little group, and we would email each other, you know, a couple of times a month and say, how are you doing? You know, what's your word count? All that kind of stuff. It quickly grew, and then the group wanted to know why we didn't have a Facebook group, because they didn't really like trying to just email in a group. So I created a Facebook group. I have a couple of people who help moderate the group, and we just all hang out and talk about writing things or post funny writing memes and things like that. Someone else suggested that we should create a Zoom meeting. And initially they said, you know, maybe once a month and we could just get together and talk about writing. And I know myself, and I am not good at keeping track of days, much less one time a month. So I said, if we're going to do this, it's going to have to be weekly, every Thursday. Otherwise I'll just forget. Now we have a Zoom meeting every Thursday, and we've been doing this for months. It's just so much fun. The group continues to grow. We have people who are industry leaders, and we have people who are just beginning writing. And my heart is really to reach that writer who is just slumped over the desk, like, I am so exhausted. I don't know what I'm doing. And I really wish that somebody could just tell me that this is normal. For that person who's out there listening right now, it is normal. It is so normal. Sometimes writing is fun and it's just a joy. And sometimes it's really, really hard work, and it's okay. We have this unbelievable lineup of people who are going to share with the 540 Club during our Zooms, scheduled all the way out through August at this point, which just blows my mind. It makes me so happy. And we have so much support, and I can't even believe it. So I'm really excited.
How do we get involved with the 540 Club?
You can either find us on Facebook and the 540 Club. If you can't find it, you can always look me up, and it's in my groups. Or you can find us at 540club.org. So again, it's 540club.org, and you can sign up there. And the link to the Facebook page is actually on the website as well.
And I'll make sure that we have all of those links. They're in the show notes. And thank you for your faithfulness to be an amazing support for those that are attending conferences virtually. You make it a joy to attend. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here. Everyone, you'll be able to find out more about Becky. You'll be able to find out more about everything she's involved in. So you can join her there as well as she mentioned, sometimes riding can be very lonely, but you don't have to be alone. And we want to be able to equip you in the journey.
Yes.
Becky, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, Linda, thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun, and I am just so excited to be a part of it and can't wait to see you at Blue Ridge.
Oh, I know. Blue Ridge is always a great place for us to gather. Thank you, Becky, for being here, and thank you, friends, for joining us. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review, because what you have to say matters as much as what you have to write. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being with you here next time on Your Best Riding Life.